This is Studio 360, and I'm Kurt Anderson. To me, it's dispiriting enough that Hollywood is compulsive about doing reboots and remakes of movies and TV shows. Okay, yes, I'm eager to see the first Star Wars in a decade, the seventh one, in December. But The X-Files. In January, it's returning as a six-episode miniseries. And every casting update and teaser trailer has provoked a million tweets and blog posts. In my opinion, too many Americans already believe in too many loony conspiracy theories, but maybe that's just me. So I asked Studio 360's Eric Molinsky to find out if this new X-Files mania really is tapping into the zeitgeist again.
In case you never watched The X-Files, and I sure did, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson played Fox Mulder and Dana Scully, FBI agents that were assigned to paranormal cases. He was the believer, she was the skeptic. They were also on a quest to unravel a massive conspiracy between shady government officials and mostly unseen aliens that were preparing the Earth for colonization.
Who is this Deep Throat character? I mean, we don't know anything about him.
He's in a delicate position. He has access to information, and indiscretion could expose him.
He's toying with you, rationing out the facts.
You think he does it because he gets off on it?
No, I think he does it because you do.
Joe Yuzinski teaches political science at the University of Miami, and he wrote a book called American Conspiracy Theories. And this is why he thinks The X-Files attracted 20 million viewers at its height.
The X-Files started in the fall of 1993, which is a really neat time for conspiracy theories. You know, only 2 years prior to that, JFK came out, which was a huge movie, and it broke a lot of ground in terms of conspiracy narratives.
The magic bullet enters the president's back, headed downward at an angle of 17 degrees. It then moves upward in order to leave Kennedy's body from the front of his neck. Wound number two.
Fox was sort of a fledgling network still at that time, and they were trying to reach younger viewers at that time who were Gen Xers. They were coming of age in the late 60s, 70s, and early 80s, and during that period you had Watergate, you had all sorts of real conspiracies coming out about the CIA, and then you had Iran-Contra. So you have this whole zeitgeist.
I definitely fit that demo. When I was in high school, I bought two sets of trading cards at a comic book store. One had satirical cartoons of the Reagan administration officials who were allegedly involved in the Iran-Contra affair, and the other had all the alleged conspirators of the Kennedy assassination. By the time Oliver Stone's movie came out, I knew those characters by heart. And of course, The X-Files showed us that Kennedy's real assassin was their main villain, who we only knew as Cigarette-Smoking Man, or Cancer Man.
It is official now. President Kennedy is dead.
But I've been wondering lately, what did people think of The X-Files, who were really committed to uncovering conspiracies, more than buying trading cards at a comic book store? So I contacted a group called Want to Know, and they suggested that I talk with one of their members, John Lumiere Wins. I was kind of hoping that John would meet me in a dark alley wearing a trench coat, and then when I asked him why he was helping me, he'd say, "Trust no one, Molinsky," and then he'd disappear into a black car with tinted windows, which is pretty much how most of the exposition happened on The X-Files. But John's office was in very sunny Northern California. He works in alternative medicine. There's mood lighting and all sorts of stuff to relax you when you step in there.
I had been exploring what's been going on this planet, kind of behind the scenes and behind the corporate media. And I had discovered that there were a lot of things that have been happening that people were ignorant of, and the X-Files revealed some of that stuff. So that I really liked. I had no way of getting it out there like that.
Like what kind of stuff?
Oh, boy. Extraterrestrial stuff, UFO stuff. I've seen craft.
So that's what I was wondering, whether you saw something that made you, you know.
Yeah, I was one night. It was like by a lake. It was way out in the country. It was very dark, and I saw five craft in a a V pattern, slowly fly in a direction across the sky right above me. No sound. I'd never seen anything like it before. I took it. It was unidentified to me. I can't.
Yeah.
The X-Files had two mottos. I want to believe, and the truth is out there. I want to believe cover the wondrous stuff. Ghosts, aliens, ESP. Things that, you know, if they were true, it would mean that there's more to the world than what's in front of us, which sounds kind of wonderful. But then there's the sort of Dana Scully character in my head saying, don't be a dupe. Where's the evidence? The truth is out there. Cover the horrible stuff. The things we wish we didn't know. On the show, much of it was fantastical, but it usually mirrored real cover-ups like the Tuskegee experiments.
There's been enough of the alleged conspiracy theories that have turned out to be pretty obviously true that people suspect. They don't believe the mainstream media anymore.
Lindsay Ellis is a pop culture critic, and she thinks the character of Fox Mulder made it acceptable, even romantic, to be a conspiracy theorist.
Because I think Mulder, you know, he's weird, but just weird enough. So he was relatable, but at the same time, he was also kind of a hero, especially by nature of the fact that he does get vindicated so constantly.
What do you know about the Gulf War syndrome?
Agent Orange of the 90s.
Artillery shells coated with depleted uranium.
What about UFO activity during that period?
Yeah, UFOs caused the Gulf War syndrome. That's a good one.
That's why we like you, Mulder. Your ideas are weirder than ours.
Now, Mulder also consulted with a group of really quirky conspiracy theorists called the Lone Gunmen that were so popular, they had their own very short-lived spin-off series in the spring of 2001.
Yeah, the pilot for the Lone Gunmen involved a government conspiracy to fly airplanes into the Twin Towers.
The Cold War's over, John. But with no clear enemy to stockpile against, the arms market's flat. But bring down a fully loaded 727 into the middle of New York City, and you'll find a dozen tin pot dictators all over the world just clamoring to take responsibility.
I mean, that's eerie, right? You know, there was a period after 9/11 when conspiracy theories seemed unpalatable, and we were willing to grant the government massive new powers. Then came Abu Ghraib, Edward Snowden. Conspiracy theories seemed to come back with a vengeance.
You know, the fact that we have these figureheads that have like hundreds of thousands of followers, people like Alex Jones and David Icke. And, you know, and the fact that me even like saying their names is going to put me on like a bunch of Twitter lists.
I knew about birthers and truthers, but I had to look those guys up. Apparently, David Icke believes that our reptilian overlords are already here among us. If the X-Files were not a revival and were actually coming out as a brand new show in January, Mulder couldn't be a lone wolf anymore. In fact, it would be hard for him to convince everybody that his conspiracy was the real one. Now, Professor Joe Yuzinski studies conspiracy theories, and he says the internet has a way of making them seem more prevalent than they actually are. And most of the media coverage is negative.
Yes, we are talking a lot more about conspiracy theories, but we're treating them like zoo animals.
But he doesn't treat them that way. In fact, he thinks there is something heroic about the real-life Fox Mulders.
We have a media out there that doesn't always question authority figures, that don't always question our big, powerful institutions. And that role then gets passed on to conspiracy theories and conspiracy theorists who push those questions, who demand more information. The 9/11 Commission would not have been out there unless it was really driven by conspiracy theorists who were asking questions about, hey, what really happened and how come we haven't been told everything? And Nixon would never have been caught if it wasn't for two cheeky conspiracy theorists working at the Washington Post who said, hey, I have a conspiracy theory. We think that the president might be involved in covering up some stuff.
You know, it's often said that people who believe in conspiracy theories want to believe that somebody's in charge, even if that somebody is evil. And I get that. You know, a world without conspiracies is just totally chaotic. And in that story, human beings with great ambitions are undone by petty little flaws or unresolved childhood issues, which lead to catastrophes that they didn't expect and they can't clean up. I mean, to me, the scariest story is the one where the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Then again, that is just the kind of thing that Scully would say to Mulder, right before he proved her wrong. For Studio 360, I'm Eric Molinsky.
The X-Files returns to Fox in January for 6 episodes, and you can hear more of Eric's stories about the fantastic and science fictional on his podcast, Imaginary Worlds.